on his friend's shoulder.
"It's all right, Tell. It took me years to convince you that the Lord Ruler was a terrible emperor. I fully expected to take the same amount of time to convince you that I'll be a good one."
Teldon smiled wanly.
"Going to tell me that I've changed?" Elland asked. "Seems all the rage lately."
Teldon laughed.
"I thought that was obvious. No need to point it out."
"What then?" Elland asked.
"Well," Teldon said, "I was actually going to chide you for not inviting me to your wedding. I'm hurt, El, truly. I spent the better part of my youth giving you relationship advice. Then when you finally pick a girl, you don't even let me know about the marriage."
Elland laughed, turning to follow Teldon's gaze toward Vin. Confident and powerful, yet somehow delicate and graceful. Elland smiled with pride. Even during the glory days of the Luthadel ball scene, he couldn't remember a woman commanding as much attention as Vin now did. And unlike Elland, she'd stepped into this ball without knowing a single person.
"I feel a little like a proud parent," Teldon said, laying a hand on Elland's shoulder. "There were days I was convinced that you were hopeless, El. I figured you'd someday wander into a library and just disappear completely. We'd find you 20 years later, covered with dust, picking through some philosophy text for the 700th time. Yet here you are, married, and to a woman like that."
"Sometimes I don't understand either," Elland said. "I can't ever come up with any logical reason why she would want to be with me. I just have to trust her judgment."
"Either way, you did well."
Elland raised an eyebrow.
"I seem to remember that you once tried to talk me out of spending time with her."
Teldon flushed.
"You have to admit she was acting very suspiciously when she came to those parties."
"Yes," Elland said. "She seemed too much like a real person to be a noblewoman."
He looked over at Teldon, smiling.
"However, if you'll excuse me, I have something I need to do."
"Of course, El,"
Teldon said, bowing slightly as Elland withdrew. The move felt a little odd coming from Teldon. They didn't really know each other anymore. However, they did have memories of friendship.
"I didn't tell him that I killed Jastes," Elland thought as he made his way through the room, its members parting easily for him. "I wonder if he knows."
Ellen's enhanced hearing picked out a general rise in excitement among the whispered conversations as people realized what he was doing. He'd given Yeoman time enough to deal with his surprise. It was time to confront the man. Though part of Ellen's purpose in visiting the ball was to intimidate the local nobility, the main reason was still to speak with their king. Yeoman watched Ellen approach the high table, and to his credit, the obligator did not look frightened at the prospect of a meeting. His meal still remained uneaten, however. Ellen didn't wait for permission to come to the table, but he did pause and wait as Yeoman waved for servants to clear space and set Ellen a place directly across the high table from him. Ellen sat, trusting in Vin, mixed with his own burning steel and tin, to warn him of attacks from behind. He was the only one on this side of the table, and Yeoman's dining companions all retired as Elland seated himself, leaving the two rulers alone. In another situation, the image might have looked ridiculous. Two men seated across from each other with empty table wings extending a great distance to either side. The white tablecloth and crystalline dinnerware were pristine, just as it would have been during the Lord Ruler's day. Elland had sold all such finery he owned, struggling to feed his people during the last few winters. Yeoman laced his fingers on the table in front of him, his meal taken away by silent servants, and studied Elland, his cautious eyes framed by intricate tattoos. Yeoman wore no crown, but he did wear a single bead of metal tied so that it hung in the center of his forehead. Atium.
"There is a saying in the steel ministry," Yeoman finally said.
Sit down to dine with evil, and you will ingest it with your meal.
It's a good thing we're not eating, then, Ellen said, smiling slightly.
Yeoman did not smile back.
Yeoman, Ellen said, growing more serious. I come to you now not as an emperor seeking new lands to control, but as a desperate king seeking allies. The world has become a dangerous place. The land itself seems to be fighting us, or at least falling apart beneath us. Accept my hand of friendship and let us be done with wars.
Yeoman didn't reply. He just sat, fingers laced, studying Elend.
You doubt my sincerity? Elend said. I can't say that I blame you, since I marched my army up to your doorstep. Is there a way that I can persuade you? Would you be willing to enter into talks or parley?
Again, no answer. So this time, Ellen just waited. The room around them felt still. Yeoman finally spoke.
You are a flagrant and garish man, Ellen Venture.
Ellen bristled at that. Perhaps it was the ball setting. Perhaps it was the way Yeoman so flippantly ignored his offer. However, Ellen found himself responding to the comment in a way he might have years before, when he hadn't been a king at war.
It's a bad habit I've always had, Ellen said. I'm afraid that the years of rule and of being trained in propriety haven't changed one fact. I'm a terribly rude man. Bad breeding would be my guess.
You find this a game, the obligator said, eyes hard. You come to my city to slaughter my people. Then you dance into my ball, hoping to frighten the nobility to the point of hysteria.
No, Ellen said. No, Yeoman, this is no game. The world seems near to ending, and I'm just doing my best to help as many people survive as possible.
And doing your best includes conquering my city?
Ellen shook his head.
I'm not good at lying, Yeoman, so I'll be truthful with you. I don't want to kill anyone. As I said, I'd rather we simply made a truce and were done with it. Give me the information I seek, pool your resources with mine, and I will not force you to give up your city. Deny me, and things will grow more difficult.
Yeoman sat quietly for a moment, music still being played softly in the background, vibrating over the hum of 100 polite conversations.